What is faith? Last week we saw in our introduction to Hebrews chapter 11 that Hebrews describes it as having confidence in God. Confidence in the living God, in the reality of His Word and of His promises. Faith is that which trusts the sovereign Creator of the universe and rests and lives in His Word. A life of faith is so important that God goes into great length in helping us to understand it, not only by defining it, but by giving to us example after example of what faith is like through the lives of some Old Testament saints. He wants to give us a complete picture of what faith looks like and how it is practiced in real life so that we might not only understand it intellectually and understand the definition of it, but that we might in reality put it into practice and live it out in our lives. If the just live by faith, it is imperative that we not only understand what faith is, but that we actually do live by faith as God's people. Well, the first example of faith for us in Hebrews chapter 11 is that of a man by the name of Abel. Not one that we would probably usually just pick to study and to look at closely, is it? Our text is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, and here it tells us that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So here we have two brothers. They are born after Adam and Eve are cast out of the Garden of Eden. They disobeyed God. They sinned. They fell. They were thrown out of paradise, and the results of the fall are seen rather quickly. Adam and Eve thought that Cain was going to be the seed that is promised of God, the deliverer, but it turns out much differently. Well, Cain and Abel have two different occupations. They have two different sacrifices, and as we see in this verse, they have two completely different responses from God. As we read this passage, probably a few questions come to our minds. You know, what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? Why did God reject Cain's and accept Abel's? Why did this sacrifice, this worship of God, end up with murder? Well, the actual story, which will be helpful to us as we think of faith, is found in Genesis chapter 4 and beginning with verse 1. So if you'll turn there with me, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Well, a puzzling question to many is, why was Cain's sacrifice rejected by God? Both Cain and Abel brought what they raised. Now, Abel was a rancher, and so he brought some livestock, a lamb. Cain was a farmer, and he brought fruit from the ground. Some think that Cain had his sacrifice rejected because it was not a blood sacrifice. And that could be, but that's not the heart of the issue. And you will recall that under the Mosaic law, worshipers could bring a sacrifice of the ground. It was called a grain offering or a thank offering. It was a voluntary offering to the Lord. And there is no indication that God had directed the specifics of the sacrifice, or that he had prohibited what Cain brought. There is, however, an interesting thing to note here, and that is that God talked with Cain, and in talking with him, he said nothing about the nature of Cain's sacrifice. That doesn't seem to be the issue, but more about this in just a moment. However, there is significance in regard to Abel's blood sacrifice, and we'll touch on that more in just a moment. But the nature of the sacrifice itself is not the critical problem here with Cain. From the very beginning, God surely instructed them as to how to worship and the necessity of sacrifices and blood sacrifices, what would later be called burnt offerings, an offering, a sacrifice of worship to the Lord. A blood sacrifice was necessary, the writer of Hebrews tells us, actually, because he says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." But the heart of the difference between the sacrifice of Abel and that of Cain was that Abel's sacrifice was brought in faith and Cain's was not. 1 John 3 helps us here. "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." What was the righteous faith of Abel? What was it that produced Abel's righteous works? It was a faith that brought him to trust the true and the living God, to have confidence in God's promises, in God's word, and to live in accordance with that. Abel believed God. He believed the promises of God made to his parents, Adam and Eve, in Genesis 3:15. promises of a redeemer, of a seed of the woman that would come and be a deliverer to them, in fact, would crush the serpent's head. Abel's sacrifice grew out of faith in this God and in His Word. Cain, on the other hand, brought a sacrifice, but he brought it without faith and without trust and confidence in God or His promises. He didn't trust God's Word, and he did not desire to submit himself to God's authority. So Abel, first and foremost, brought himself to God. Abel first gave God his heart and then his sacrifice. But Cain's attitude and his conduct clearly showed that although he went through the motions of worship, he did not worship God from his heart. It was, if you will, outward worship, but not inward worship. It was worship without faith, whereas Abel's was worship with faith. Jesus, in condemning the Jewish rulers, said of them, "These people draw near me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Before God will accept anything from your hand, whether it is your service, your gifts, your worship, your prayers, God must have your heart. Anything you offer to God, if it does not come from genuine faith, if it does not come from a confidence in Him and a love for Him, that is, from a heart of love and affection, then just like Cain's offering, it will not be acceptable to God. It will be rejected. It will not please Him. 1 Corinthians 13 puts it this way: "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing." You see, God doesn't care so much about sacrifices and gifts as He does about your heart, and that you have a heart of affection toward Him, of faith in Him and trust in Him, just like Abel. Abel brought his sacrifice in true faith, with genuine love for God, and God accepted his sacrifice. Cain brought a sacrifice, but as it were, it was under duress. You know, he did what he thought he had to do and should do. Now, what's interesting here is Cain believed in God. Not only did he believe in God, he talked with God, he communicated with God. He brought a sacrifice and worshiped the true God. But he was of the wicked one. He was not regenerated. He wasn't saved. He had no genuine faith, trust, and confidence in the living God. And he did not have a heart of affection for God. And so even while he was worshiping, he was, as Jesus put it, of the wicked one. Profession, no matter what that might be, does not mean necessarily possession of Jesus Christ. The point is this: the offering, the sacrifice that we bring to God does not affect the giver and the heart of the giver, but the heart of the giver does affect the sacrifice and the worship. Mere outward religion is actually a vain and a worthless thing. Outward piety means nothing to God if it is alone. If there is no love for Him, if there is no genuine affection for God from the heart, God wants our hearts before everything else. So Jesus summed up the first table of the law as the first commandment, which is this, that you, before all other things, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And Jesus added, and with all of your strength. There are many things that God commands us. Baptism. Church membership. Giving. Service of various kinds. And yes, God commands worship. But none of these things makes us acceptable to God. None of these things make us righteous before God. None of these things brings regeneration or a righteous standing before a holy and a just God. They are only acceptable service to God if they are done in faith. And that's the point of Hebrews 11:4. If worship is done without faith, it is nothing. But when there is love toward God and faith in Him, then these works of faith become true acts of worship and service to our God. Well, Cain killed Abel, but his issue was really with God, not with his brother. You see, those who are alienated from God, who are in spiritual darkness, those who are angry with God, are going to be at odds with God's people. Cain's problem was with God. He did not love God, and he did not want to live by faith in God. He did not want to live in submission to God's authority. What he wanted actually was to live by his own way, by his own rules, and have God approve that. Cain could not hurt God. So he took out his anger and his rebellion against God by striking his righteous brother Abel. A glaring example of this today is the hatred, particularly in the Middle East, but you see it in Africa, Northern Africa, and in the West, in Europe, and even in America now, a hatred for Christians. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there is a hatred toward God that brings those that are of the wicked one, just like Cain, to oppose and even kill God's righteous people. Reminds us that the real problem and the real issue in the world today is not man's relationship with man. It is rather man's rebellion against God that is taken out on other people. And so the answer to the moral decline of America and of Europe and of the world is not politics, and it certainly is not more weapons and wars. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The root of our problem with one another is our problem with God. Well, next, the writer of Hebrews in verse 4 tells us that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel's sacrifice of faith testifies that he was righteous. Jesus, in fact, stated himself that Abel was righteous. What is this righteousness that Abel had? Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3:9. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, rather that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. You see, true righteousness does not come from our obedience, our works, our worship, our service, our baptism, our church membership, our keeping the law. Righteousness comes only through the work of Jesus Christ, both in His life and on the cross, that is imputed to us by grace through faith. Abel was justified. He was made righteous, not by a sacrifice, but rather through his faith in Jesus Christ. Just as sinners today are made righteous through faith in Christ. One of the points that the writer of Hebrews is making, and indeed that the scriptures stress throughout, is that righteousness, those that are right in their standing before God, the righteous are a people who have faith in Him. The just live by faith. The righteous live by faith. Their sacrifices, their works, their obedience will please God because it comes from faith. And so those things that the righteous do in worship will be acceptable service to Him and a sweet-smelling aroma to our God. Well, what does it mean that God testifying of His gifts? Well, back in Genesis 4:4, we read this: Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering. Now, it's interesting here. Jewish tradition says that God showed His respect to Abel's sacrifice by sending fire from heaven that consumed it. That is, this is how God showed His respect for Abel's sacrifice, and He didn't do it to Cain, and so that's how Cain knew that God didn't accept his sacrifice. And there's a little bit of scriptural reason for this interpretation. Think through several things. You think of Elijah as he faced the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And they prepared the sacrifices. And Elijah prepared his and put water on it. And God sent fire from heaven and consumed it all. You think of Abraham. God cut a covenant with Abraham in the book of Genesis. And Abraham prepared a sacrifice, actually several animals. He cut them in half and laid them out. And typically, both parties in a covenant would walk between those sacrifices, those animals. But in this case, Abraham was a bystander, an observer watching, and God, in the form of fire, came between the sacrifices. You think of Aaron in Leviticus when he was anointed as high priest. And then he prepared a sin sacrifice on the altar of burnt offering. The first one. And you recall what happened? God sent fire from heaven and consumed it. One more example, Gideon. When he was called to be a judge and a deliverer of Israel, he prepared a sacrifice and God sent fire and consumed it. So there's examples in Scripture of God showing His respect for and His approval of a sacrifice by literally sending fire from heaven to consume it. And so it is possible that this is how God showed his respect to Abel's sacrifice and not to Cain's. We don't know, and perhaps it doesn't even matter, exactly how God showed his judgment, how he respected one and not the other. But the point is, it was very clear to both Cain and Abel. They understood. Cain understood that God was rejecting his sacrifice. And he was upset and he was troubled by it. In fact, Genesis tells us that he burned with rage. He wasn't just angry. He seethed with anger toward God. Isn't that still the attitude of sinners today? We want God to accept us on our terms. We want to do what we want to do. And we think God should be happy with whatever he gets from us. And we become angry and we become bitter toward God if he doesn't. Sinners today come to God with no recognition of personal sin and their rebellion against God. No humility, no brokenness, and no love for the living God. Rather, sinners come today just like Cain with a demand that God accept them, sin and all. And so we have churches today that advertise the well, we don't judge sin. We affirm everybody and everything. Just come. Come with your sin. And everything will be fine. But here's the truly amazing and interesting thing. In spite of all of this, in spite of Cain's attitude, his seething anger toward God, God graciously comes and talks with Cain. It's a marvel. He comes and he warns Cain and he tells him, Cain, change your attitude. You're going on the wrong road. You need to turn around and go the other way. And he warned him that if he did not change, there would be disaster. But Cain wouldn't hear of it. He would not listen to God himself. And he would not forsake his sin. Instead, we're told, he starts talking with Abel and goes out in the field and in his anger commits the first murder. The results of rebellion against God are always tragic. It's always disaster, just like with Cain. That's why Paul calls upon us in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine yourselves, he says, as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Well, Hebrews says Abel, though dead, still speaks to us. Interesting expression. Abel witnessed in his life of God's goodness and God's grace. And he's still witnessing of faith in the living God in his death. In Genesis 4:10, God, in confronting Cain, says, "What have you done?" This is after he's killed Abel. God says, "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Well, then we come to Hebrews and in chapter 12 and verse 24, and there's a rather interesting application. For we read, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that is the blood of Jesus, that speaks better things than that of Abel. Christ's blood speaks of better things than of Abel's blood. Kind of an interesting verse, isn't it? Abel's blood cried out to God for justice and vindication. God said to Cain that his blood is crying out from the ground. But in contrast, Christ's blood brings forgiveness. It brings cleansing and mercy and righteousness. Indeed, much better things than Abel's blood. And yet Abel's blood, spilled because of sin, is a witness and a testimony of Christ's blood. His blood that was spilled because of sin, but as a remedy and a cure for it. So though Abel sacrificed by faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. He still proclaims the excellence and the value of faith in the God who redeems. There are several reasons to believe that God actually instructed the saints in Abel's day regarding the need for a blood sacrifice. For example, in the garden, after they had sinned, God slays animals and uses their skin as clothing to cover Adam and Eve. Later, Abel, as he sacrifices, we notice a couple of things. Number one, he offered a lamb from his flock, but we're also told, as we read in Leviticus, and Leviticus requires, that he offered their fat as well. So it would be an indication that Abel didn't just come up with these things, but he had a certain understanding of the proper way to offer an animal sacrifice to God for sin. They all suggest that God's expectations for an offering were clear and known. So if this is true, if God had instructed them of the specifics of the sacrifice, then Cain's sacrifice is even worse because it is willful disobedience. Well, these early saints had a close fellowship with God. It's kind of interesting. They weren't just fumbling around in the dark trying to figure out what God wanted. God communicated with them, talked with them, even as we see with Cain. There was a fellowship between man, even in his sinfulness, and God that was very special. And God promised them a redeemer. God made other promises to them. He instructed them in how to worship and how to be right with him. And Abel's faith involved looking forward to these promises and in obedience obeying the commandments of God, and in faith looking to that atonement for sins that the Messiah would achieve. Abel probably didn't know all the details. In fact, as we read through the Old Testament, you see these details of the seed of the woman, the Messiah that is to come. These details become fuller and fuller until Christ himself appears. But even though he didn't have the details, he did believe what God had promised. And he acted on that faith. And it was accounted to him, we're told, as righteousness. While Cain, on the other hand, still personally talking with God, having an understanding of who God is and what God wants, and worshiping him, worshiping the true God. And yet, he had no faith in God's promises or in God himself, would not submit himself to God, and therefore was rejected. And yet Abel, by his sacrifice of faith, still testifies of this great truth that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so Abel still speaks to us by his example, even in his death, of the great truth of Scripture that the just shall live by his faith. Martin Luther put it this way: this means that he who, when he was actually alive, could not teach even his only brother by his faith and example, now that he is dead, teaches the whole world. Abel's faith and his sacrifice still speak today of a life of faith and trust and confidence in the living God. It raises another question this morning. Are you with Cain or are you with Abel? Do you love God and have faith in his word and his promises? Does God have your heart or just a nod? Maybe with some gifts. Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength? Christian, what kind of example are you to the world? Does your life testify to those that are watching you of your faith in the living God and in his saving grace through his Son, Jesus Christ? I would pray that our gracious God give us the strength to live our life as an example of confidence and trust in the unseen things of God and his promises. For God is true. Shall we be his people, living by faith in the only true and living God? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the example of Abel. And as we look back upon this story and think of such faith, we are encouraged ourselves to be like Abel, men and women of faith, trusting you completely and fully. And Father, we desire that you have our heart. We pray that you might work in us more love for you. Indeed, that we might love you with all of our being, first and foremost above all other things. And may we also be a testimony to the watching world of righteous faith. Work in us to that end, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen.